Now, Chris Kelly, we were just talking about movies, and you admitted that you watched a movie this weekend, or I should say hate watched a movie that I recommended to you.
My wife said, let's go ahead and watch this thing Biggie recommended. Now, it cost us almost $7. It was a rental. It was a rental.
A one-time deal?
One-timer. It was this thing on the Press Your Luck contestant who, and I used to watch the game show Press Your Luck 40 years ago. This happened 40 years ago, which really is like, golly.
Yeah.
I mean, if you think of it, like at that time in 1984 or 85, if you'd said this happened 40 years ago in the 40s, it would be like, wow, yeah. That was ancient.
That's D-Day.
Right. Literally. However, when you say, I mean, I remember this like it was yesterday. I remember watching this show when this guy was on it. If you don't know the backstory, there was this guy who went on to Press Your Luck, the game show hosted by Peter Tamarkin, which just had a grid.
A seemingly random pattern.
Correct. And it was
of flashing lights.
Bounced all around, and you called stop, and if you hit a whammy, you lost all your money. But if you landed on $5,000, you got $5,000 and another spin. And, it, you know, this one guy figured out the random patterns.
Was it just spinning, or was there trivia involved?
Trivia first, but fairly easy trivia. The way it worked was they would say something like, well, here's one from that particular game. They would say, at what age does the average person develop crow's feet around their eyes? And somebody would ring in and say 40. And if you're right, you get three spins. But if you don't ring in, you get multiple choice. And if you get it right, then you get one spin. And they were easy enough where everybody did accumulate spins. I mean, you always, then they went to the game. They had two rounds of that. And the second round was where the money got really big. And that's when this guy in 1984 or five won $160,000. Now, generally, the winner walked away with $15,000, something like that. But this guy had figured out the pattern.
Yeah. Know,
he figured out the pattern.
I looked it up. In today's money, it'd be like $340,000.
That seems about right. I figured. Okay. So I went into it. My wife said, should we rent this thing? And I was like, Biggie recommended it.
Biggie did.
What's the, you know, I was like, let's
she brought it to you, your wife did.
She did. She's like, man, this might be interesting, because we both watched the show when we were kids.
And this is a scripted version of the story.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And I had seen on Game Show Network a very well done documentary on it about 3 years ago, and learned way more about this guy who had just obsessed with this game, Press Your Luck, which is still on, by the way, Press Your Luck is still on Game Show Network today, Now they have a million patterns. You know, it's completely random. But then they had five patterns, and the guy memorized them so he could see, so he could stop it just in time to win the money. Yeah, and as I watched it, I mean, I hate watched it for Biggie, and I thought it was pretty good. I think the guy who played the winner, the man who figured out the pattern, was fantastic. I mean, he's really good at it.
His name is Paul Walter Hauser.
Very good.
And he has basically picked the niche in Hollywood of just kind of being the just blah looking dude.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, his roles he's played have always been that kind of down on your luck, chunky. He was the Atlanta bombing suspect.
Yeah.
That was a really
Richard
good movie.
Jewell.
Yeah.
Was he the one in I, Tonya?
Yes.
One of the bumbling guys
who
whacked Nancy Kerrigan in the knee.
Plays it great.
He is a phenomenal actor, and his roles are just always these kind of bumbling types.
If you need like chunky mid-80s, early 90s bumbling fool, this guy is perfect.
And he is. He's perfect. And he's busy as can be. He's in so many movies now.
Here's my question for Biggie. Chris Tim hasn't seen it.
What's the title of the film?
Luckiest Man in the World. And because I think on at the end of it, they put up there, he's the luckiest man in the world because he hits over and over and over again. Well, I just always wonder how real this is, because in the movie they show behind the scenes stuff like the people in the back just going crazy that, you know, he's winning all
show
this
staffers.
Money, show staffers. And one guy who's in charge, like, let him on the show, whereas the other guy who's normally in charge of picking the contestant said, this guy's bad news. You know, this guy's bad. And the other guy goes, I know what I'm talking about. Put him in there. You know, let's get him. And at one point, like during the filming, the winner goes out into the parking lot and he's running around and chased back on. I just think, I'll bet that none of that happened. I think they have to exaggerate all of that. I think he just sat there and played the game. And behind the scenes, I'm sure they were like, this guy's got us figured out. You know, what are we supposed to do here? But I don't think there's nearly as much drama behind the scenes as really. They made the host, like Peter Tamarkin, seem dislikable. Like, you need to go out there and tell him, he's challenge him and say he shouldn't keep spinning. And I just thought, I'm not buying all that, you know? And I know they have to do it because they're making a movie.
Sure.
But it's just like, you know.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. Yeah. I don't think it was quite. The only thing I do buy is the behind-the-scenes stuff.
I buy that they were concerned.
As far as concerned, yeah, because I know what would happen here if we somehow
started giving away something.
Started giving away something and somebody figured it out.
Yeah.
The panic in the upstairs above us and us would be. So that part I believe. I don't believe he was running around. I don't believe the, this is a little bit of a spoiler, but at one point he's playing for somebody who he screwed over.
Yeah. Well, see, they had like an app. Like one spin got someone something at home, like the at-home player, you know? And so he had played so long, they made him open the envelope.
The bumbler?
The bumbler, and say who he was playing for. Mm. And they researched him while he was winning and put in a name of somebody that he hated. And it's like,
the producers?
That didn't happen. Yeah, that did not happen.
No, I don't think that happened. Now, he was in real life, he was a con artist.
Well, of course.
You saw the documentary. He ended up blowing the money and everything.
Yeah, I knew all that. But at one point, like, he drove an ice cream truck. And In the movie, he had literally driven the ice cream truck to the CBS studios, and in the middle of him winning all this money, one of the guys behind the scenes goes out to the ice cream truck and breaks into it and finds VHS recordings of the show to he's a fraud, you know.
Yeah.
And that's when they decide to put the name of the person that had screwed him over in there. And I don't believe any of that, but I got so into it that I have watched about the first 15 minutes of the actual episode he was on.
Oh, really?
I went on YouTube and Googled his game, and I've watched like the first 10 or 15 minutes. I'm obsessed now with this guy who 40 years ago
conned America.
Yeah.
And Peter Tomarkin.
Who I've always heard was a wonderful man, and they make him out to look a little bit dirty, like, you know, just a little like.
Yeah, he's played kind of as a sleazy game show host.
And I don't think that's true of Peter Tamarkin. I'm a Tamarkin man. All right? I am a Tamarkin man. Mm-hmm. And so when I saw this, I was like, don't you dare disgrace the memory of the late, great Peter Tamarkin, who died, by the way, delivering some sort of charity items for underprivileged children in a plane crash. He was flying to deliver to underprivileged children. And so I'm going to watch this entire episode and report back.
Mm.
But when it was all done, I just thought, they goosed it too much. You know, it's like it couldn't quite stand on its own. You had to create all these different things. It's the same way I felt about the movie Sully when Tom Hanks played it. Because they made that movie as if he was under such tremendous pressure and that nobody liked him after he saved everybody on that plane, when in reality, I think he was treated like a hero.
Yeah, I'll never forget the trailer. They show him like acting like he's being grilled one-on-one by the FBI, like, tell us why you landed it!
Yeah, well, because I'm trying to save everybody. And I did. Yeah. And I did save everybody on
board. I don't think any of that ever happened. I think he was always a hero. Yeah.
I mean, a little bit. I mean, they investigated because it's NTSB. And this, of course, I think a little bit of that happened.
I did a deep dive one time just on when a movie, because basically any movie can say based on a true story.
Right.
Because what made me do it was this movie called The Strangers, which is a
very
creepy movie.
As soon as you said it, I was like, I'm going to. This is Biggie and I are best friends. I mean,
Kristen,
this is
the next five off.
This is why we're best friends.
This?
Yes. Because as soon as he said, I did a deep. As soon as you said they can say loosely based, I thought that movie, The Strangers.
And that's what made me start to look further into
Titanic.
Titanic.
Wait a minute.
Wait
a minute. In my mind, the Titanic is 100% factual.
They were on that boat.
All those happy poor Irishmen doing
that's right.
Jigs and reels.
Wait a minute now. Let's not go too far. Okay. Let's don't go too far with this. Titanic. That happened.
Every word is gospel.
And that she threw the diamond off and all of those things. Let's not go too far.
What I learned was, especially horror movies, love to say based on a true story.
Or based on actual events. That's right. even more loose.
Actual events.
Yeah. And a lot of times, different horror movies are based on the same event.
Right.
You know, there's a lot of exorcism movies out there that are based off the same exorcism.
One exorcism.
But you wouldn't know because it just... So that's kind of what they do, is mm-hmm. they throw
but that's,
that...
That's the story of a movie.
Sure, of course, yeah.
I get it.
Movies
aren't supposed to be fact.
It still
the
sucks me in.
The problem is people conflate movies with fact.
Right. Yeah.
That's the problem.
The thing about this particular thing with Press Your Luck is, I just think it was so unbelievable what was going on behind the scenes. That would be my criticism of it. It's like, you really didn't quite have enough there mm-hmm. for a movie. You should have just left it with the documentary. But I did think that lead actor played it very well.
Yeah.
They had Walton Goggins in it playing Peter Tomarkin.
Oh.
Nobody better not say a bad word about Peter Tomarkin. Okay. I'm a Peter Tomarkin man. And I didn't think he did. I'm a big fan of his, but I didn't think he did a great job. The way they played it, I was like, this isn't quite right.
To me, they got a great actor to not do much.
Exactly. He didn't do much.
Yeah.
It's like Chris Dim in this segment. He don't have to do much.
No.
Because it's, this one is, mm-hmm. you know.
Yeah, you two shouting it off the rooftop.
That's right.
Not a 40-year-old irrelevant show.
Yeah.
This is completely irrelevant in anybody's life. I just, at the end of it, was
what
like.
What did your wife think?
Same as me. In fact, with about 30 minutes to go, she was fighting sleep and said, I'm just going to go off to bed here.
Ooh, sorry, Biggs.
And well, but only because she was sleepy and it was late at night. We argued over whether or not to watch it. First, I was like, do you want to watch it? And she goes, yes.
Biggie likes it.
And I was like, well, Biggie likes it, so forget it. And she's like, fine, I'm not even going to watch it.
And it cost you $7.
$7. This guy's still getting me.
If it were free, would it have colored your... review?
No, I don't think so. I do. I would have had the same review. I'd felt better about it. You know, I do. It's okay, but I just don't think there was quite enough there to really do it. You know,
well, it's
what
a
I mean?
Short movie.
It is.
I will say that
it's
maybe an hour 25. I think.
I'll tell you, there's a guy in it. This is really getting into it now. What happens is the con artist comes to try out for the show, and the guy who usually picks the contestants is sitting there with the main boss.
Now, he didn't break any laws to get on the show, correct?
No.
He just memorized the show.
Yeah. And in fact, I don't think he's done anything wrong. Remember, he memorized the show. I don't think it's cheating. You know, he was at home and he figured out the pattern, which to me, more power to you. You know.
Well, and they kind of at one point get to that point.
Yeah,
where they're like,
they did.
He didn't do anything wrong.
When he's first in there looking to be on the show, the guy who normally picks the contestant is in there with the main boss, played by David Strathairn, who's a great actor. Mm. So the guy who usually picks the contestants is like, this guy, there's something about him. He's creepo. He's a con artist. Don't put him on. Well, David Strathairn, who's the main boss, goes behind his back and says, I can smell a winner. We're putting this guy on. So he does.
He's the exec producer,
perhaps? He's the exec producer, right. So now they're all back there watching it, and the guy's winning such tons of money. And the exec producer is like, oh, my God, look what I've done here. Well, the head of the network comes walking in and says, who chose this guy to be on Press Your Luck? And in a massive Chris Kelly move, the executive producer said, Claude over here.
Yeah.
He goes,
right here.
He goes, well, Claude's in charge of contestants.
Yeah.
At that point, did the president say, well done, Claude?
No.
Oh, no. He's Claude's like, about to get it.
He's like, oh. Claude's on the...
I thought he was going to say, great job, Claude.
No, Claude's in a different room. And the Chris Kelly-esque character says, he's asked...
The weasel.
Well, the weasel is asked, who put this guy on? And he goes, well, Claude's in charge of doing contestants. And the main boss is like, get Claude in here. This is his last day at CBS.
I remember being a kid, I'm sure it was old episodes they would show in the afternoon, but the Whammy is the first game. That's why I was interested in it. It's the first game show I remember.
Ah,
Press Your Luck. And what I remember, not even as much of the gameplay as the Whammy.
Yeah.
No Whammy, no Whammy, no Whammy.
Well, people today.
Was it animated or was it just a photograph?
Well, both. It would first, on the board, it would be a photograph. It would be like a little photograph.
Is it a little green monster?
Little
dude?
Box. It's a brown.
Oh.
It looks like a little turd. And it's a little brown monster, and they would animate it coming in front of you, like doing a little dance or taking your money and pounding it away. Because as soon as you got the whammy, your money was gone. If you got four whammies, you were out of the game.
Oh.
And that's why you keep pressing or you pass your spins. So they had like a mascot whammy walking around backstage.
Oh.
At one point, the guy's backstage who's winning the game.
And the whammy who's in a mascot comes up to him, and it's got this, you know, maniacal grin on his face. And the guy's like, oh, my God. And he's tormented by the whammy. You know, it's just like, come on.
Yeah. Yeah, that was a little.
Hey, man, you're doing great out there.
Yeah.
It's like, come on.
You want to do some blow? Meet me at the ice cream truck in 20 minutes after we wrap.
I do, it's like a sauna in the suit. You have no idea. I am schwitzing in here.
Yes.